Parts of Lake Erie are covered with bright green slime because of an algae bloom that's covering more than 700 square miles of the western basin of the lake along the coasts of Ohio and Michigan. Joining us now is Timothy Davis, who's an associate professor of biology at Bowling Green State University in Ohio. Welcome.
Thank you for having me.
And explain what's happening here. What is causing this algae bloom in Lake Erie?
Well, these blooms are a yearly occurrence in the western basin of Lake Erie, and they're primarily driven by nutrient runoff from the Maumee River watershed, and that's primarily composed of nitrogen and phosphorus.
And that's from what? From fertilizer?
Yeah, so these are agricultural fertilizers that are used to grow row crops in the region, such as corn and soybean.
So you say it goes on every year, but is it worse than it has been in the past?
This is a bad year, but it's not a record-setting year. If you look at historical blooms back from the mid-90s when these blooms first reappeared in Lake Erie, the blooms over the past several years have been much larger than the blooms that we saw in the early 2000s and so on. But this year's bloom, while it is large, it is not as large as the blooms in 2011 and in 2015. Those were the largest blooms in recorded history.
And in 2014, an algae bloom affected Toledo's drinking water. Is there a risk that the current bloom could affect drinking water?
Well, anytime there's a bloom in the western basin of Lake Erie, there's always a risk to drinking water. I need to qualify that by saying water treatment plants are well equipped to deal with these blooms, which is why they've been going on for 15 years, and we've only had a couple instances where we do have these toxins passing through the water treatment plants into finished water. But anytime there is a bloom, there's always a chance that drinking water can be impacted. Luckily, this year, we have not seen any events like that.
So far?
So far, yes. The bloom is still ongoing, but as these blooms wear on through the season, they start in July and they dissipate usually in mid-October to early November. The blooms do become less toxic, but that doesn't necessarily mean those scums, those big green patches you see on the surface of the water, those can still be very dangerous and should be avoided.
What do the blooms do to fish and other life in Lake Erie?
We're not exactly sure. There are reports that these toxins can accumulate in fish flesh, but we don't know the rate because that's a very difficult matrix to work in. We do know that Lake Erie has a world-class walleye fishery, and people eat fish out of Lake Erie all the time and are perfectly fine. But in terms of how these blooms impact fish and other aquatic animals, that research is ongoing.
So what could be done to prevent these blooms from happening? If this is about fertilizer runoff, are there measures that should be taken?
Yes, there are measures that should be taken and measures that we are working towards taking. So the Great Lakes Water Quality Agreement, which was first developed back in the 1970s, that agreement, which has been updated several times since then, has mandated that a percent reduction in phosphorus, one of the main nutrients driving these blooms, be developed. And that was a couple of years ago. So researchers came together and determined that a 40% reduction in overall phosphorus load is needed in order to mitigate bloom size. And working with farmers and with the agricultural community, states like Ohio and Michigan are developing their domestic action plans in order to work on obtaining and meeting these goals that have been set out. It's not easy because you're mixing a lot of different interests, and politically, that's very difficult. But it's something that the region understands as an issue and needs to work on.
Well, does something like a bright green Lake Erie help to convince people that more needs to be done?
Absolutely. You know, state and federal lawmakers all agree that Lake Erie is having major water quality issues. Events like Toledo brought it into the national and international spotlight. And those events, while unfortunate, and we hope that they never happen, do serve the purpose of public awareness. And public awareness is really important because constituents have a loud voice to their elected officials. When they start saying, hey, this is a problem, it needs to be dealt with, that does get people moving, for sure.
But for now, in this case, the next step is just to wait for the bloom to go away.
Yes, this is not a fast solution. Nutrient reductions in the Western Basin and in the watershed that feeds the Western Basin of Lake Erie, that's going to take time, several years to deal with. So in the short term, it's about protecting human health from these events. Long term, it's to develop nutrient reduction targets for both phosphorus and nitrogen, because nitrogen is also very important in order to mitigate these blooms so that they have less of an impact and are less of a threat to humans and drinking water.
That's Timothy Davis, who's an associate professor of biology at Bowling Green State University in Ohio. Thanks for joining us.
Thank you for having me. It was great to speak with you.